The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20pm with Mick Norton, Craig Forsyth and Sean Quinn in the studio. Hopefully we'll have racing from Fakenham and Warwick, but both of those meetings subject to Thursday morning inspections. We will, however, have racing on the Southwell Fibre Sand and in the evening at Chelmsford City, so plenty still to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon to you, Mark. I'm absolutely rampant, thank you. Certainly better than the weather we're having here in Leeds this morning. A little bit snowy and a little bit sleety, but touch wood, everything's got the go-ahead this afternoon, so yeah. We're looking forward to that. And let's hope the weather relents so that we can have a full systems go tomorrow afternoon.
Hopefully so, yes. And also at the weekend, because there's a belting weekend coming up. We've got Trials Day at Cheltenham. There's a good card at Doncaster. Over in Ireland on Sunday, there's a cracker there with the Irish Arkle and the seventh meeting between Hurricane Fly and Jeski in the Irish Champion Hurdle. It's a real weekend to look forward to, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely fabulous. This is just the sort of tip of the iceberg before they get put away, locked away in kid gloves type thing before the festival, isn't it? So it's the last chance for many of them to get a run into the belts, try and hopefully show the true potential and then, as I say, get locked away ready for the festival in early March. And it is quite early this year, isn't it? I think the first day is about the 9th or 10th of March, which is fairly early.
Gold Cup Day is the 13th of March, so...
Don't say that to me.
Why not?
Friday the 13th.
Yes.
Didn't
think of that.
Yeah,
well,
if you're superstitious, you know what I mean.
That's a big mistake, that, isn't it?
Yeah, but great excuse for jockeys. Friday the 13th, Governor. You couldn't expect him to run well.
Well, exactly, yeah.
I've used it before, that one.
Have you?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, no problem.
It's one of the days of year where you'd have an excuse, wouldn't it? That, you know,
of course it is.
That stands up a little bit.
Drop that in.
What
very
excuse
nice
the rest of the year?
Oh, sun was in its eyes, wind was going the wrong way. You name it, we've got them in the books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Let's take a quick look ahead to some of the weekend action as well, because there's a few stories relating to them as we record this on Wednesday morning, starting with Under Sue, who's in the Racing Post Irish Arkle. And he's going to take on some pretty good opposition as well. It'll be the first real test of Under Sue. Gil Gamboa and Clark Ham both in the mix at the moment, Pimmy. If those three line up, that'll be a great race, won't
it? Well, it's just like the Irish equivalent of the Arkle, if you know what I mean, isn't it? Wonderful racing prospect, some high-class individuals as well. And, we look forward to that mouth-watering. The only thing is if 3, 4, 5 go to post, it's just whether we get a truly run race or whether we get a tactical version. Because one thing is for certain, when they get to Cheltenham, there'll be no tacticals. They'll jump and go from flagfall, won't they? But yeah, there's some really good horses there. Claire Gam's interesting from the Gordon Elliott Rad. Ender Bolger says Gil Gamboa is one of the best horses he's ever trained, or certainly speed-wise he's ever trained. You've got Vaisar Lido, again, stable companion of Undo Saka. So, you know, all in all, it's a very, very competitive novices chase. And, again, a mouth-watering card at Leopardstown.
It is, yes. And Clarkham obviously beat Vator, who's another one of Willie Mullin's star chasers, potential star chasers, was obviously lined up to go towards the arc. So it'd be interesting if he gets the better of another Willie Mullin's runner, won't he?
Well, that's right. Mullin's has got so much strength and depth in every category that, you know, he's going to be more than one-handed in many of the championship races.
Holywell will be in action at Cheltenham this weekend. We're not sure which race yet, but he has got an entry in both the Betbright Cup and the Cleve Hurdle. Interesting if he goes over hurdles, Pimmy. Do you see it as a confidence boost for him? Because he's struggled a bit this year, hasn't he?
He has struggled, and he was the same this time last year. It just wasn't all falling into place for him. And then with the rating and everything that he had last year, they could go a bit of pot hunting. They could take some of the easier tracks in and then just get his confidence back. Whereas this year, they've nowhere to go regarding the smaller tracks, are they? So they're a little bit hands tied. Looking at that Betbright Cup, that looks very, very competitive. although there's not many entries at this moment in time, there's only 8 entries, so maybe cuts up to 4 or 5 runners, you still got to jump round Cheltenham in a competitive field. So I think they'll take the easier option for him personally. I think they'll go for the Cleeve hurdle, and most of all, they'll just get him to have a nice clear round, boost his confidence, and then hopefully that'll take him a step closer to going back to chasing.
We do have betting on site as well for the Cleeve hurdle. Holywell's 8-1 in that market. Safford Arrow, obviously interesting at the top of the market, at 5-2. Beat that, 9-2. Fives for At Fisher's Cross and Temps Poor 2.
Oof, At Fisher's Cross, I can't have him at any price at the moment. Something's gone awry with him, hasn't it? I mean, I saw him run last time out at Leopardstown, I think it was. He travelled, and then all of a sudden, when push came to shove, his jumping went to pot again. And for me, he's got an awful lot to prove yet to be a major player.
Okay. We're also going to see Present View probably at Cheltenham over hurdles rather than going chasing. He does have an entry in the Skybet Chase at Doncaster, but Jamie Snowden's saying that he reckons they'll probably go for the Grade 2 Neptune Investment Management Novices hurdle at Cheltenham instead. Do you think it's a similar kind of thing with him? Get him a run round over hurdles, don't damage his handicap marker in the chase and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you've got to remember that what he won at Cheltenham last year was what I would call one of the lesser races. It was one of the races that's been made up to make up the 4 days sort of thing.
Yeah.
And again, that Paddy Power chase, we've just looked through that form and it's not stood up really, has it?
Not really.
On paper and on the day, you thought, hell, that's going to throw up loads of winners. And as time has progressed, it hasn't done a great deal for anything, has it? So that form possibly isn't as strong as we first thought it was going to be. So I think, yeah, they're more than likely thinking, let's take the hurdles route, like you say, protect his handicap mark to get him into some of those lesser chases at the festival. And again, hopefully, you know, that will boost his confidence as well.
Yeah. Anything else has caught your eye in the news or anything, Pimmy, before we move on?
Well, no, just really looking forward to the weekend. Let's hope the weather relents and we can get that trials day in at Cheltenham and that wonderful day in at the next day at Leopardstown.
Yeah, should be good. We're going to focus on Thursday's action next, though. Pimmy's going to give us his 3 bets on the all-weather. We're going to play it safe because of the inspections, and we'll hear his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, as I mentioned, we're going to focus mainly on the all-weather, but there is a big race in Ireland on Thursday, the Thyestes Chase, and we'll just take a quick look at that as well while we're at it. Jack Adam is the 3-1 market leader, the top weight, 9-2 for Gallant Oscar. Saddler's Floor is 9-1, 12 for My Murphy, Rogue Angel, and The Job Is Right, 14-1 for Gooniella, Grudy Hill, and Make a Track, and 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. William Owens has been quite confident about Jack Adam earlier on in the week, saying he feels he's up to defying top weight. Top weights have a pretty good record in the Thyestes as well. Do you see him as the one to beat?
I think he's a mountain to climb, personally.
Yeah, yeah.
I really do. I think he's a hard task with 11 stone 10. He's just a 6-year-old, so he's only a young fella. You know, he's maybe more to come from him in the future. And again, you know, he ran okay, didn't he, behind Many Clouds in the Hennessy. But again, he's still got an awful lot to find. And this is very, very competitive, as you can imagine. 17 of them declared to go to post. Willie won it last year with On His Own, who carried 11 stone 6. So I think personally, Jack Adam is going to have to be at his very, very best to win tomorrow. And I think, again, 3-1 is too short. Okay. I don't think there's any value whatsoever in Jack Adam there. I thought the interesting ones here was The Job Is Right, who came good last time out. Kept on really well in the closing stages at Punchestown. He's had a little bit of a break since then. And I just think he could be interesting. He's going to be a double-figure price. And the other one I thought of, and I love this horse's name, and he's no world beater, but he is very tough, very consistent, and again, he's going to be value for money, and that's the bottom one. 9 stone 10 on his back, The Lobster Catcher.
Mm.
Davy Casey takes the mount. I mean, if you think this, the top weight's got to give 2 stone to the bottom weight, that's an awful lot of weight, especially if the ground's going to be testing. And again, it's over 3-mile 1. They always go a good gallop in this. Sure to be a test of stamina. I thought those two just look like a bit of value for money in what I think is a competitive race, as you'd imagine for a Thyestes, but I prefer to take the favourite on than be with him.
Okay. The Lobster Catcher 16-1 as well, so a nice bit of each-way value in there for that one. Let's concentrate on the domestic stuff, though, for me. The first race that we're going to look at there is the 2-10 at Southwell, which is a class...
Southwell? You call it Southwell, do you?
I've been told to call it Southwell.
Have you? Who's told you that?
The powers that be.
Right, okay.
No,
well,
it's,
well, let's not go to Southall then.
Yeah, well, I say Southall. I've been brought up saying Southall.
Yeah.
But I was told that the correct pronunciation and people of Southall say Southwell, so...
Right, okay. Fine, let's go to Southwell then.
Yeah.
Whatever you say, Mark, you're in charge.
All right.
You're the man.
It's a class 5 handicap over 5 furlongs. We have 10 of them in the lineup. A couple of them coming into this in good form as well. Thought Bay has a penalty to defy for his win a couple of days ago. Incomparable down at the bottom of the weights. Arrives in pretty good nick. And Extreme Supreme has been running well as well. So quite a good race, actually.
A good little race, yeah. And we've got last year's race winner in it as well. Rambo Willow won it last year for John Jenkins. Change of personnel doing the steering. Natalie Gemmalova steered Rambo Will to victory last year. It's this year, it's Fergal Lynch. So, interesting jockey booking there. And Fergal seems to be starting to get a few more rides this side of the Irish Sea, doesn't he? Mm. So he's trying to get himself bedded back in over here. And Rambo Will, again, he obviously likes the course. He likes the surface here at Southall. And, again, he could be a little bit of value for money at more than likely a double-figure price. But I thought it's the Mick Appleby run of Thorpe Bay. Admittedly, he's got a £6 penalty, but there's no finer trainer that... at Southall than Mick Appleby. He's got a fantastic strike rate. He's had about 26 winners on the artificial surface since the end of October this of last year. So his horses are always to be respected at the Nottinghamshire venue. So I'm going to plump with him, Thorpe Bay. Not very original. He's more than likely going to be favourite. But I do feel he's always been tough. He's always consistent. And getting his head in front last time could well have buoyed his confidence.
OK. Thorpe Bay then to maintain his recent good form in the 210 at Southwell. The 540 at Chelmsford City is where we go next. A class 4 handicap over 6 furlongs. We have 12 of them in the lineup for this one, Pimmy. And this is one of the more open races of the day. There's plenty in here with chances.
Good race. Very competitive. What I like to see is we've got, I mean, OK, we're going to class Mick Appleby as Midlands trainer, yeah? But we've got David Barron sending his horses all the way down there. We've got Kevin Ryan sending his horses down there. So the northern guys aren't frightened of going down there. Talking to one or two people regarding the opening meeting at Chelmsford City, quite a bit of bad kickback, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Now, that's going to have to settle in. But to be honest, if they've had the sort of weather we've had, wet, damp, snowy, that will actually help bed the surface in a little bit. The more rain, the better that will become, actually.
Yep.
So if it has got that, hopefully this second meeting maybe won't just have quite as much kickback for the horses and the jockeys to put up with. But again, one or two of these ran at Southall last time, and I'm not sure that form will carry to Chelmsford City. But I do feel that the David Barron horse could be interesting here. Viva Verglas. As I say, he did run at Southall last time out, second of 8 behind Keyshan, but I don't think Barron, shrewd as he is, would send this all the way down there for the good of his health.
OK. Viva Verglas then in the 5.40. And the final race we look at is the 6.10 at Chelmsford City. This one is a class 4 handicap over 5 furlongs. 4-year-olds and older in the lineup here. 11 of them to go to post. Pimmy, who do you like in that race?
I thought Gregorio was interesting from the Brian Meanyard. Georgie Baker doing the steering on this one. He ran at Wolverhampton last time out. Something for... went amiss, to be honest. He pressed the leader, then he lost his place, then he was eased right down. That run was too bad to be true, but prior to that, he got some fairly tough and consistent form. Got the pieces and the tongue tie on, admittedly, so that could be interesting. But I'm going to take a chance with the top weight here, Stuart Williams runner, Dr. Parks. He ran well enough, I thought, when he ran here at Chelmsford City at the opening meeting, and I think there could be a little bit more to come from him, and I'm hoping as well that that experience on the track will have done him the world of good.
Okay, Dr. Parks then for Pimmy in that race. Thank you very much, Pimmers. Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
Look forward to it.
So there you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. Mick Norton, Craig Forsyth and Sean Quinn will be the team in the studio. It's Fakenham and Warwick providing lay pass inspections, Southwell in the afternoon. We finish the day with all weather action at Chelmsford City. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.